Hello, and welcome to the Architects of Destination Advocacy Podcast from Destinations International, the international trade association representing destination organizations. This podcast has been exclusively produced by Relic Agency. I'm Andreas Weisenborn, joined with Jack Johnson of Destinations International. Today, we are proud to welcome you to our podcast in a title we both share in part or in full, Advocacy. For this series, we wanted to tell the story of usual and unusual suspects in our sector's history and key advocacy moments for them. We tend for these stories to tell the tale in full, containing both joy and triumph or crisis and disappointment. Each month, we will be joined by guests to tell their tale and a key moment in their destination's history. These are your architects of destination advocacy. For this month's episode and our third, we wanted to spend some time at the beginning to expand on what is happening in our world and the sector during this moment in time we are in. So Jack, I should say, welcome back. At the time of this recording, you just came back our first successful hybrid meeting in Florida for our CEO summit. I did not get to attend, but just wanted to ask, what was it like being back?
It was awesome. It was like being asleep for 15 months and then waking up and just picking up where you were before. It was kind of really bizarre. There's a sense of sensory overload. Literally, I saw more people on the first day than I probably interacted with for the last 15 months. But there was just this great sense of joy just to be there and everyone in the same room. I mean, we've said it before, you know, if you're in the destination organization, there's no other destination organization in your town to go talk and have coffee and talk things through. So you have to come to these things, really, to talk to your peers, which is probably why we're so well connected and so help each other. But yeah, it was just an amazing experience to be with everyone. It's like family, for lack of a better word.
So speaking of room, I mean, this was a hybrid, so there were really two audiences. I know you and I often joke and enjoy what the experience is like being on stage and just kind of seeing everyone there. But for us and going forward, it's going to be two different audiences. Like, I'm just curious, what did it feel like from your perspective? I know you're on site, but what did it feel like knowing like there's other people tuning in and watching you at the same time?
They're like two parallel events. You know, they're there, but until where we really interacted together is when we broke into tabletops or whatever. And they were doing that also in Zoom rooms. And they were able to then come back and report out. And all of a sudden, you know, there's Minto on the screen or there's someone else on the screen. And you were like, okay, that's great. They were able to feed questions in. So there was definitely interaction that way. But I never thought I'd say this, but I miss having a big screen with a whole bunch of Zoom boxes. So maybe something we'll do at advocacy is we can do that.
So at the time this will come out, we'll be right before annual convention in Baltimore, also a hybrid. Since you've actually are one of the first to attend a hybrid, any tips you can give someone for both an attendee, either in person or virtual?
No, God. just participate. You know, if there's the options to go to a Zoom room to have a conversation, do that. If there's a question you got, ask it. Same thing in person. I think people were kind of like, the thing about being in person and that being the first event for so many of us, it was like we were all out of practice, you know? So when it came time for questions and answers and no one went up to the mic, which is unbelievable because our audience has never been afraid to ask questions. I felt finally I just had to go up there and ask a question just so that other people would start doing it. And it happened. But literally it's both joyful and a little disorientating because you literally, I had packing down. I could do it in 30 minutes. It took me hours to pack for this meeting. I'm just rusty. Everyone's just kind of rusty.
That was going to ask specific to you. You're notable for our events because I always notice the tie you wear. Did you wear a tie? I think I have not worn anything like that in quite a while. So I was curious if you had.
I did not wear a tie. I wasn't speaking. I didn't speak at this event. But even if I had spoke, I don't think I would have wore a tie. There's just a casualness about the event.
Yeah, absolutely. So for our audience, the next point to know, our next hybrid actually is going to be our annual convention in Baltimore. My actually former mater and used to be Fair City, where I spent over a decade of my life. So I am very much looking forward to that and kind of just experiencing what Jack sort of described earlier and what that means to return back to events. I also very much enjoyed the packing experience, so I'm anxiously waiting to see how rust I am with that.
You're gonna. I'm really excited about that, by the way. I think Al's going to do a fabulous job. I got a chance to talk to him at CEO, and it was just they're primed. They're ready for us. It's going to be a really great event.
Agreed. Something I'm actually looking forward to. So, as I said earlier, each month we will interview a guest on their tale of advocacy and the role it played in a pivotal moment in their destination. For this episode, we want to introduce Cassandra McCauley, Vice President, Communications and Stakeholder Engagement at Tourism Calgary. Some of Cassandra's core responsibilities to her destination organization are corporate communications, crisis management, government liaison, membership, and of course, advocacy. We've gotten to know her through our time as co-chair of the current advocacy committee, but also as frequent contributor to both CDME and our summits. For today, we wanted to dive into 2017 era Cassandra and the unveiling of the 10-year destination strategy. To learn more about what this inflection, the research, and the undertone that led to such a monumental long-term investment and pivot for her destination. Cassandra, welcome to the show and let's chat.
Thank you very much.
So just to get things started, first off, just talk a little about your background and your formal education that led you into, you know, your work today.
Yeah, my background is in communications. So my undergraduate degree is in communications and public relations. And then when I did my graduate degree, I got a master's in organizational change and leadership from the University, Royal Roads University in Victoria, British Columbia. And I wanted to do that because I wanted to really expand my capacity and my ability to advise senior leaders and my organizations. So from a professional background, actually, I started primarily in emergency services. I worked for the Calgary Fire Department and our 911 center.
Ooh, our favorite.
and it, loved it. I mean, it was an adrenaline rush every single day, you know, but there comes a time when you're on call 24 hours a day that it wears on you, right? There's a lifespan to those kinds of roles. And so I also worked for our science center in Calgary. I did some consulting with the Calgary Stampede, which is obviously our biggest festival, and worked for a bunch of other organizations. But what kept pulling me back was the roles that really contributed to my city. And so tourism was never somehow in my lens of an aspirational career track, but when I really thought about it, when the opportunity at Tourism Calgary came up and I really thought about it, I thought, you know, everything that I love doing in my career is about supporting my community. And what a great way to support my community working in tourism. And little did I know then, that was 7 years ago, I had no idea what it would turn into and what that level of support could look like. And so I have found my home, that's for sure.
Oh, but I wish now I regeared the questions to it about firefighting, but for another time.
Well, let me be clear. I was not a firefighter. I supported on, I did communications and media relations and all of that kind of work for them.
Still one of our favorite common goods. Did want to ask before we get into the bigger questions, you know, the time we're in right now, we are still where the borders are closed. I just, you know, wanted to ask, how has it been up there for you, your community, your destination, your city?
Yeah, you know, I think it's likely been similar to a lot of other destinations in that, you know, from the moment this happened, when it started, we started hearing rumblings of this COVID thing back in January of 2020. I actually engaged my former colleagues at the Calgary Emergency Management Agency, because I worked quite closely with them in a previous life, and said, you know, if this gets here, the tourism industry, A, could be very helpful to you, but B, will be very impacted. And so how do we work together right from the outset to make sure that we're supporting each other? And so that was one of the best things that could have happened, because we worked with that group quite closely. And in fact, we started doing weekly sessions with our industry members so that they could get their questions answered directly by the authority. since then, over the last 15 months, we've gone through, you know, the three waves that everyone else has. We have had multiple lockdowns and reopenings, and it has been extremely hard on our industry. We're sitting here today at the end of May, and I've got 850 member organizations, and only 40% of them are open right now.
Wow.
So yeah, it's difficult. Now we are on a path to reopening, and the first phase begins next week. So we're very excited about that. But we've turned into, as many destinations have, a hyper-local marketing organization. And so that's where we've really found a niche. And it's, I think, in a lot of ways been a great blessing, because it has helped remind Calgarians of all of the great things that we have in our community and why tourism is important to our community. It goes back to that shared community value that we always talk about. But I think it will also spur some really interesting local discussions coming out of this about having experiences in our city and making sure that everyone knows about them and has experienced them.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, certainly our thoughts are with you out there, because you are not alone. A lot of our Canadian members and Canadian Alliance that just, someone made a comment to me on the last advocacy call, I think you were there, where it just said, it feels like, even though the same continent, it feels like we're on different worlds with what's happened with reopenings and vaccine deployment and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. By the way, it was like you guys were just missed. Family member, a family branch of the family was like missing at CEO.
I bet.
And just as this realization that we had flipped positions, you know, a year ago.
Yeah.
I mean, Canada was doing so much better than the United States. And then we've gotten the fabulous rollout here of the vaccine, and just what a difference that makes. And just looking at what's going on in India versus Brazil versus Europe versus Canada versus us, it's just like, how did, we're so interconnected, and we got this problem because we're interconnected, and yet we can't be interconnected and come out with it as a solution at the same time. So that's kind of a problem for our next time we have a pandemic, I guess.
Yep. We will definitely miss you in Balsam, but we are very hopeful that Advocacy Summit in the fall will be our big, you know, everyone can come again, be back, join the party. And that's kind of the sort of transition I want to talk to you about. Where I've gotten to know you is at many of our summits and CDME and whatnot, I've seen you present on the Calgary's destination strategy. It's this, for anyone to look it up, it's this big, beautiful circle wheel of Calgarians and visitors and whatnot. And I've heard you talk about the research, but I wonder, sort of back up, and I think a question Jack and I were sort of wondering was, what even led to that process? And what was it about the community that just said, hold up, we need to stop and rethink things and start to figure out another 10-year strategy for us?
Well, it's a great question. It's one where, if you're familiar with Calgary, we have an amazing destination. We're a beautiful city. We're very, pre-pandemic, we were very business travel focused, because Calgary is a city of head offices and corporate head offices. And so we have that as an advantage for us, but we're also 45 minutes away from the Canadian Rocky Mountains and Banff and Lake Louise. And so we have a lot of reasons to visit. But we also have a lot of gaps in our tourism product. And so back in 2017, we really realized that we needed to identify what those gaps were. And we knew that we needed to think about, how do we continue to develop Calgary as a destination in itself for all types of visitors, whether it's mm-hmm. business travel or leisure, and really take advantage of what's out there, but also be able to compete with other great destinations. And so we undertook this work, and as we did, you know, we realized a couple things. And one of them was that this couldn't come exclusively from Tourism Calgary, right? It couldn't be just us sitting around our boardroom and saying, okay, here's what we need. We need a new convention facility. We need, you know, and start the laundry list. It actually needed to come from the community. And that was for a few reasons. Number one was credibility of the strategy. You know, if you don't get buy-in and input from everyone else, you're not going to be able to lift it. The other part of that was that we don't own the facilities. We don't own the attractions. We don't own the experiences. And so we needed the folks who do own those products or who invest in them to lead the conversation. And that was, I think, one of the best things that we could have done. There was also a ton of learnings that came out of that, because there were a few trip points that I didn't see coming in that. And so that's how it started.
There's a advocacy bingo here. There's a line you said about selling other people's things. I'll let Jack fill it in, because I know you often talk to us about what we're very good at of selling and contributing to other people's assets we don't have.
Because I keep saying that over and over and over, so we don't.
Yep.
That we don't own anything. We actually promote other people's property by using other people's money, and that we do it all with a vague sense of something called a brand that in reality is made up by everyone in the city or the destination. So they own that also. The role of a destination organization is just really to be a good fiduciary of that.
I do want to ask, how did you come figure out, you know, who the community or stakeholders you needed to interview or invite as part of this?
That was a process. So that started with, you know, a few of us sitting around a boardroom table and saying, okay, who are the key stakeholders that we need to engage with? And so, you know, I maintain a stakeholder map, actually, that we update monthly. And that is looks at who all of our stakeholders are as an organization, and who we need to just keep informed, and who we need to be heavily engaged with. And so we kind of started from there. And then when we got to those folks, we asked them, well, who else should we be talking to? Mm-hmm. And so it kind of became a rolling piece of, well, you should really talk to this organization, or have you thought about these guys? And, you know, we engaged our post-secondaries, we engaged our attractions, we engaged locally, nationally, and internationally different groups, and including the big hotel chains and different organizations who may want to invest in our city.
How long did it take from start to realizing we need to do this to then identifying who you needed at the table?
It took a lot longer than we expected. And my CEO, Cindy Ady, is really incredible, and she's very driven. And so she wanted it done very quickly. And as soon as, you know, it became apparent that there is an extensive process here, you know, she agreed with that. But it took us a couple of years from the we need to develop a destination strategy point until the point that we had done all of our engagement and we were coming up with the recommendations.
No, I'm just wild that it took that much time. You have an incredible list in the document itself, with like the newspapers in there and the universities in there, and you've got businesses that are not tourism businesses in there per se. Have you maintained that group? And
yeah, we have. And, you know, we tried to do a couple different things with it. So after we launched the strategy and started working on it, a big point of conversation was how do we maintain the engagement of this group, and how do we make sure that this lives and doesn't become a pretty document that sits on a shelf that we can just point to and say, well, we have a strategy, but, you know, we're not doing anything with it.
By the way, it is a very pretty document.
Thank you. I have great designers. So, you know, trial and error, we did a couple things. I started a group. The tagline of the strategy is ultimate host city. It's the vision of the strategy. And so I launched a group of ultimate hosts in the city and ultimate host organizations. And so whenever something was accomplished that contributed to the strategy, we recognized them as ultimate hosts. And we tried to bring this group together and make it kind of a consortium of people who got together on a frequent basis and talked about this. And I'm sure very similar to other organizations or other destinations, people are so busy. And pre-pandemic, we were so over-engaged in events and roundtables and consultations that there were a lot of people just waving the white flag and saying, really sorry, we're tapped. And so having another group to do this with is not necessarily feasible. So from there, we pivoted and just started having more one-on-one conversations and really assuming that role of connector and then making those connections between the organizations. And so that's how we kept them engaged. But our engagement strategy is going to look a lot different coming out of pandemic, right?
Yes.
And so something to think about on how we do that. We've stayed engaged virtually through the last 15 months. Now we need to rethink how we exit out of this and come back together.
Absolutely. Since you mentioned just the point about being the great connector, did particular sectors or community stakeholders come to the table that because of this experience that never were there previously with your organization? And just kind of curious, who were some of them?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, post-secondaries were one that had always, you know, we'd been friendly with, but never really had meaningful strategic conversations with. And when we think about the value of our post-secondaries, particularly from a meetings and conventions perspective, there are so many opportunities there from being thought leaders and being driving leads for different events, but also being hosts for great events. And so that was one that we had not previously engaged with our post-secondaries in a meaningful way. And now we have great relationships with them.
Oh, that's wonderful. I guess one of the things I want to ask, one of the best parts about research, especially if you're on the inside of it, is when you finally get the results back and like you get them back before you have to publicly unveil them. I kind of wanted to ask, I mean, you've heard it described as a 6-month period of the research and the community you engaged in. What were some shocks or surprises or acknowledgments of the initial research when you got it back to look at? It's like, wow, this is what this is.
There were a couple, and maybe I don't know if shock is the right term for us, Andreas, but it brought so much clarity for us. Mm-hmm. And you and Jack referenced the wheel that we have where we visually articulate the strategy. And at the center of the wheel, before this process, we had always had the visitor. And through this process, we amended it to be the Calgarian or the local and the visitor.
Yep.
And what became very clear to us through the research process was what's good for the Calgarian is good for the visitor. And vice versa. Whereas as a traditional DMO, our thinking had always been, we're visitor focused. And that was our organization's shift to local and to be more focused on the Calgarian. And it was such a moment for us because it changed a lot. It changed how we marketed. It changed our brand and how we approached that. It changed why we are supporting our attractions and our experiences. And it changed even how we look at the events that we try and attract.
I was going to ask that. I mean, did it change the way, which events even that you went after? Because I noticed in the report itself, one of the things I absolutely love about this is you have a list of measurements in each section versus against every strategy. And there's at least one, if not multiple measurements that have this focus on Calgarians as opposed to visitors. There's one in there about, you know, how much they participate in this event or that event. If I remember correctly, there's one that talks about the volunteering, how many Calgarians volunteer to help out on stuff like that, which is awesome. How are those measurements working out, I guess, for lack of a better phrase?
Yeah, you know, it's they are. And you know, the other piece to it was we changed our organizational KPIs to include Calgarians. And so one of the KPIs that we adopted after this process was the percent of Calgarians who believe that tourism is an important contributor to our economy. And that has been gold with elected officials, right? To be able to demonstrate that. And we started off, we had to benchmark because we had never done that before. So we benchmarked, started off at 84%. We're now pre-pandemic, we were at 86%. And so we're going to have to go through that process again of measuring that. But to be able to tell elected officials, to be able to tell potential funders that Calgarians believe in this and that their constituents believe in this has been remarkably powerful.
Yeah, absolutely.
I keep saying that's so critical because if you can get the public behind you, the elected officials will fall in line. And too many people focus on just getting the elected officials.
What was, once you finally did reveal, what was general feedback from the same stakeholders that you had just interviewed for this?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you a bit of a story with this because I think it's a cautionary tale for folks who are undertaking this work. I talked off the top about how we focused really strongly on making sure that this was stakeholder led and that the recommendations were stakeholder led. And, you know, I believed really strongly in that because we needed that buy-in from the folks who were going to help lift this. Perhaps I took that a little too far and didn't engage inside the organization enough. And so our internal teams didn't necessarily see themselves in the outcome and in the recommendations. And where they did, they were underwhelmed. They're like, well, of course we need those things. Like, come on, you spent this long coming up with this. And so that took some backtracking and some work to say, this may be very obvious to us because we live and breathe this every day. However, we need the community who's going to lift it and who's going to actually make this happen on side. And so that was kind of the process. And so when I do this again, and I'm about to embark on an update of the destination strategy, that's one of my key learnings. And so from the internal stakeholders, it was perhaps underwhelming. From the external stakeholders, because they saw themselves in it, they saw their recommendations, and they saw how they could actually support the lift of this, it was very, very well received.
So the next circle will be Calgarians in the middle, Calgarians and visitors and staff.
And staff, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, that's a point, I guess, distinction. I mean, Jack and I have also gone through that when we released the lexicon, where we put it out publicly first, you know, before actually kind of drilling it down to getting staff to understand what it means. Because obviously, you are not the entirety of the organization, right? You need everyone to speak and believe and perpetuate these values to the whole organization. So like, it is vital to have the entire organization on board and speaking in and believing it. So
it's so true. It's so true. And, you know, that was, I think, my greatest learning from this process was that I didn't do enough to bring the team along and to make sure that the team saw themselves in it as well, because that is equally important as the externals.
Absolutely.
Any other things you'd change or do differently next time?
Well, you know, with the initial document, the original document, we've been so successful. We had 20 recommendations in there, and we have now advanced or completed 16 of the 20. And that was up to pre-pandemic and like right before the pandemic. And so we got a lot right, but we got a couple things wrong. And so one of the things that we had in there was elevating our iconic experiences. And now, back in 2017, you know, Andreas, you said go back to 2017, Cassandra. Yep. Back then, I thought I knew exactly what that meant and how to do it. And if you say that to me today, I would say, what was that girl thinking? Because that makes no sense. That is so ambiguous. And to what end? And so I would be more clear about certain things. And that was one of the big pillars. And that was the one that I think we've done the least on, because maybe that isn't our place and maybe that doesn't need to happen. And so I think going back to explaining the why and the for whom would be more important on pieces like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to ask before we get kind of into the outcome of this, and I said, we'll put a link in the show notes to the you know, the main site off of Calgary and the strategy. But did you have a particular favorite part of the wheel? Because one of the things that's so beautiful about it is not just the center, but it literally is multi-layered of different things around, if I remember correctly, advocate, support, and lead, and then sub-layers within it. Did you have a favorite from any one of those?
Well, I think the adding the Calgarian to the center of the wheel was really important to me. I think another piece, like you said, the outer layer, we articulate our role. So sometimes mm-hmm. we're advocates, sometimes we're leaders, and sometimes we're supporters. And that, again, caused a significant shift in our organization and how we think and how we operate. Before all of this, we were not advocates. I mean, we likely were, but we never termed it as such, and we didn't put a dedicated focus on that. And the minute that we did, it really changed how even our industry engaged with us, because they now saw us as articulating the fact that we are their champions, and mm-hmm. they gave us permission to be their champions. And so it has really changed the role in the community of Tourism Calgary by being an advocate as well as a supporter and sometimes a leader.
Yeah, no, wonderful. Like I said, I've seen you speak about it many times, but I think it's another thing to actually hear you talk through the process and what you went through, and kind of the outcome that is so prominently and beautifully on this site. So now you get it out in 2017. What now opportunities has this afforded you and changes you can now make because of this being out in the community?
Yeah, we had an overwhelming response to this after we put it out. And we have had multiple organizations now quote the destination strategy as they embark on their strategies and their work. And they link to the destination strategy as a reason for a call to action or as a reason for their work. We've also had a mayor who has been incredibly supportive of this, and he can't get through a speech without talking about how we're ultimate hosts and this is the ultimate host city. And so that's great. And it's strengthened our link with Calgary Economic Development and how we work together with ECDEV, and it's strengthened our link with so many organizations. And so the response has been phenomenal, and the adoption of it in the community has been phenomenal. And so now the challenge is, as we continue to update and go to 2.0, if you will, we need to maintain that, and we need to make sure that same magic that came out of the first one extends to the update.
Your plan, which is amazing in its own right, is actually kind of connected to a larger city plan, right? Calgary and the new economy. They identified tourism as a growth industry, which actually kind of surprises me, because that's actually not the word they use, but it's like a future or an area to focus in on for future. And I was kind of surprised, because I've always viewed Calgary as this great destination to visit anyway. But one of the things that I absolutely love about that report is it basically kind of steals your language in the area of talent, which is, we aim to be Canada's destination for talent. As you go to a new report, or as you start implementing this report, how do you tie into something like that? And what's your role, if any, in that?
Yeah, well, you know, our strengths or our ties to economic development have been so strengthened with this, like I said, and it did, our strategy did initiate, or was initiated, sorry, with Calgary and the new economy. And so the links are so close there. And the great thing is, with economic development, we share the brand with them. And so that in itself helps us to share that goal of attracting talent and everything like that. But, you know, if we think back to Maura Gast's great line about it all starts with a visit, it all starts with a visit. And so we do work really closely on that kind of stuff to make sure that we are showcasing our destination and everything that it has to offer in the best ways. And so there is that strong link there.
I haven't premiered this yet, but I have a spinoff of Maura's famous speech, which is that it actually starts with a concept, or starts with an impression, basically that brand, and then goes to
brand,
a business.
Yeah. Starts with intent, right?
That's it. Yep. Intent.
Exactly.
Steal that word.
Do want to ask in kind of final round here, you've mentioned already a couple times in the show about updating this. Obviously, when this was released, this was before anyone knew about a pandemic or COVID 17, 18, 19 and whatnot. I wanted to kind of sort of ask, one was, an update mid-year of the 10 years always planned. Two, how's the pandemic changed it, and sort of the details of what incorporates changing this plan mid-cycle for you all?
I wasn't intending on updating it mid-cycle, but as we approached the end of 2019 and we were 2 years into it, and we had advanced or achieved 16 of the 20 initiatives, it became kind of clear, like, we're rolling on this, it's happening. And so rather than just keep our sights set on the last four initiatives, which may or may not be as relevant as the others, how do we update this to ensure that we're continually reaching and striving and advancing the destination? And so I was prepared to do this work of an update in early 2020. And then the pandemic hit and I paused the work. And in my mind, I thought, this is going to change everything in the destination strategy. You know, we're going to need to rebuild the industry, and we're going to need to really focus on the fundamentals. And now a year and a bit later, I don't know about that. I think that the general tenets of the foundational pieces of the strategy remain, and they remain as important as they did in 2017. And so I think that what you'll see out of the update, and this is just me hypothesizing, obviously we have to get out to our stakeholders and have these conversations, but I think that continuing to advance our brand, continuing to advance our hosting infrastructure, continuing to ensure that we're supporting our suite of experiences in the city and filling out that year-round calendar and all of those kinds of things, those are just as important now, if not more important, than they were in 2017 or pre-pandemic. And so I think that what you'll see is that we'll update a lot of the tactics, but the strategic objectives, I think, will likely remain. Maybe a couple of them will be tweaked, but I think that the premise of them is still strong.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I appreciate sharing. Do you think if someone was going to embark on this again, would you plan to have a mid-year or mid-cycle refresh to it? Or do you think 10 years is maybe too lofty to do it?
10 years is too long. So much changes, you know, it's, if you think about it, we, in 2017, when we launched this, we had these goals of, you know, updating our convention facility and maybe thinking about a new arena and event center and, you know, starting brand work and all of that kind of stuff. Well, in 2.5 short years, we have shovels in the ground on the largest convention center in Western Canada, second largest in the country. We have approval on our new arena and event center. We have emotionalized our brand and are ready to take it to the next step. And so the pace of change and even the change in governments, and as you get through different elections and different priorities, it all changes so rapidly. 10 years is way too long. And so we will be shortening the time frame because it just doesn't make sense. I mean, you need those long-term goals, but even with a shorter runway.
Yeah, absolutely. We appreciate sharing that. Cassandra, we appreciate you being on the show. Appreciate you sharing your story and this experience. And as you mentioned with updates, I hope that we can have some couple sessions and our future podcasts where we can revisit this over the 10 years, because I think it's an incredible story for not just Calgarians, but just for destination organizations as a whole and the industry to sort of look at the approach that you all took and adapt as their own. So I just want to say thank you.
Oh, thanks very much. It's been a real pleasure. And I told you and Jack in an email that I listened to the first episode and I was blown away. I think that this is a really great resource for Destination International members. So thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Cassandra. And we wish you well and be safe, and definitely look forward to when we can meet up in person again.
Family reunion.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Take care.
Thank you again for joining Destinations International for this month's episode of the Architects of Destination Advocacy. Please make sure to subscribe within your podcast listening service to always catch the latest episode. To learn more about the work we do, please make sure to subscribe to our newsletter at destinationsinternational.org or check out our content through the advocacy section at our site or were speaking at one of our upcoming events. Thank you, and we'll talk soon.